great to see you this morning. Thank you for tuning in to worship with us. It's good that we are here, and what a beautiful Sabbath day God has given us. Blue skies and sunshine, the Pacific Northwest at its very best. 2020 has been quite a journey so far, has it not? We made it through March and April, good riddance, I would say. And then the roller coaster of May and June, and now July has passed and August is upon us. It is August 2nd, the 21st Sunday of worshiping online together. It is good that we are here. And we are not alone. The people of God are arriving right now. Morning, Carl. Nice mask. Kai, good morning. Thanks for being here. Part of our technology team. Oh, here comes Deacon Amy. Good morning, Deacon Amy. Nice to see you. Oh, and look who's coming down the hill. Here comes Robin. Be careful. Be careful, please. Thanks for coming in such a green way this morning. Thanks for being here. We're going to go in now. Our gathering song is going to move us joyfully into worship to a story of loaves and fishes and a meal of bread and wine. You are holy. Come on in. God is indeed holy, and all are welcome in this place. Gathered in our homes and now in God's house, we worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Give us joy, Lord. Give us joy that we may be viruses of hope, infecting this island and our world with your love. Feed us with bread and wine, that we may be inspired to feed and love others. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Listen carefully now as I'm going to be preaching on the lesson that is about to be read. There may even be a quiz at the end of the service. Jana Szabo-Malecki is part of the Clinton online Zoom worshiping community. And Jana is going to read our lesson this morning from her Clinton home. Jana?
The reading is from Matthew 14, 13, 21. Jesus withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate, all were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Jana. Our love to you and your little dog, Bear. And greet all our friends who worship with you in Clinton every week. Reflecting on that lesson and in anticipation of Holy Communion, Carl is going to sing "One Bread, One Body" for us at this time.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, the many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, the many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Many the works, one in the Lord of all. One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, many throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Grain for the fields, scattered and grown, gathered to one for all. Blessing which we bless. many throughout the earth. We are one body in this one Lord.
Thank you, and thank you to our marvelous technical team for your incredible work on behalf of us each and every week. I want to start this morning by testing your memory. This is going to be hard. Now, because it's an election year, I'm going to start here. How many of you can name every president of the United States who has served since 1970? Too easy, right? Okay, let me challenge you once more. Name all the vice presidents who have served since 1970. Feel free to pause the video and see if you can come up with these. I promise not to leave. Did you get it? Agnew, Ford, Rockefeller, you might have missed Rockefeller, Mondale, Bush, Quayle, Gore, Cheney, Biden, and Pence. Now the super bonus part of this trivia. There were four vice presidents in the 1920s. Can you name any of them? Okay, let's try a new angle. That was pretty hard. Let's test you in a different way. How many of you remember, by show of hands, go ahead, Pet Rocks, The Walkman, Cabbage Patch Kids, Beanie Babies, Rubik's Cube? I thought so. And finally, let me ask you this. Do you remember something called a summer vacation? That's right. Boys and girls, in years gone by, families used to go on something called the summer vacation. Families would pile into a car for a road trip. No masks were needed. No worries. You could go almost anywhere. You could go camping. You could go to Disneyland. And get this. For those who are young, you might find this hard to believe, but there was a time when you could even go to Canada. When our girls were much younger, for a number of years, we would go to Sun Valley, Idaho. We'd pack up the car and put bicycles on a rack, and off we'd go. I have so many vivid memories from those trips. Swimming, ice skating, yes, even in the summer, riding bikes from Ketchum to Haley, and going to church. On Sunday morning, we would always find a church where we could worship as a family. Now, like you, we arrived early so that we could get a good spot in the back row. And so there we were, the Lindis Five. We were probably in someone's assigned seats, but no one gave us a bad time. The sermon was good, and when it was time for communion, we were ready. Now, the bread and the wine in this church would be passed down each pew. We did not even have to go forward to receive. The communion servers worked their way back to us as we sang a hymn or two. The girls wondered how this was going to work as they'd never communed in this way. And then we found out that it was not going to work at all. Because the communion server, when he got to our row, he leaned over to me and said, "We ran out. Try again next week." What? Ran out? How could a church run out of bread and wine? What is next? McDonald's without French fries? Politicians without bologna? We ran out. Try next week. Well, next week we were back home at Trinity Lutheran Church, and I made sure that we did not run out of bread and wine. Now, if I were to ask you to name one of the miracles of Jesus, it wouldn't be very hard, would it? After all, there'd be so many to choose from. You might say Jesus gave sight to the blind. You would be right. Jesus healed lepers, turned water into wine, raised the dead. Yes, miracles abound in the Bible. But do they still happen today? Or do they simply reflect the faith or superstition of days gone by? I officiated at a most touching and magical wedding last Saturday. A beautiful bride, a handsome groom, a best man, a maid of honor, and me, that's all. The long guest list for this long-planned wedding had been reduced to two guests. Now, when the bride and groom exchanged the vows that they had chosen for this day, they both remarked that it seemed like a miracle. It seemed like a miracle that they had found each other in the autumn of their years. Now, it could have been a coincidence or luck or the magic of eHarmony, but they had found love and found each other, and they gave the credit to God. It was, they both said, a miracle. After the wedding, I gave a toast at the reception as the five of us were pandemically socially distanced from each other. I raised a glass and said, a toast to the miracle that brought you together. May we never waste a miracle. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at the feeding of the 5,000. You know the story, right? You just heard Jana read it, but I'm guessing that most of you could have told that story if you were asked to. It's one of the few stories that appears in all four gospel accounts of Jesus' life. Now, let me give you a little context for this familiar story. As we enter the story, Jesus is heartbroken, and Jesus is exhausted. Now, on occasion, life will do that to us, will it not? It will leave us heartbroken and exhausted. In this case, it was death and rejection that had weakened this fully human rabbi from the Galilee. Death and rejection, grief, disappointment, and ridicule have a way of wearing a person out. You see, Jesus had just returned to his hometown of Nazareth. He had traveled there to teach and to preach. But he was rejected by the people who had watched him grow up. Listen to their responses to his sermon. Who do you think you are preaching to us? We know who you are. You're Mary's kid. That's right. You're nothing but a carpenter. We babysat you. We changed your diapers. And now we are offended that you are preaching to us. Rejection never feels good. It does not matter how old you are, or even if you are the Son of God. If you are human, it hurts to be rejected. As Jesus left his hometown, he headed back to Capernaum on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It was then that an out-of-breath messenger caught up to the disciples. The spoken word shook Jesus to his core. The messenger said, John the Baptist is dead. He was executed. John, who leaped in his mother's womb at the sound of Mary's voice, was dead. Could it be? John was 6 months older than Jesus. They had grown up together. They were playmates. They were cousins. They were friends. John had baptized Jesus, and now John had been murdered. 30 years old, his head cut off and placed on a platter to amuse the guests at King Herod's lavish feast. John was dead. A grief-stricken Jesus just wanted to be alone. He got into a small boat and set off out under the sea to be alone. He left his disciples behind. He needed to cry. He needed to pray, to shake his fist towards heaven. Why were humans this way? Why were they so cruel? Why was there such oppression and greed among them? Why a lack of common decency? Now, the Sea of Galilee can be calm. It can be troubled as well. It can be peaceful. It can be very dangerous also. It can give life and it can take life, but it's not so big that one could not see a solitary boat slowly being rowed in search of a deserted place. And so it was that the pathetic, teeming masses who were following Jesus continued to follow him from the shore, watching his boat as it moved. What a sight it must have been. as that crowd kept moving along. The disabled were walking with canes. The aged were walking with walkers, and they struggled to keep moving on. Children were running and laughing, and everyone, it seemed, was looking for a miracle or a healing or a word of hope from a rabbi who preached hope. The solitude of rowing would have to be good enough for now for Jesus. When Jesus approached the shore, he wiped the tears from his eyes. He came ashore, and there were thousands there to greet him. The text says that Jesus had compassion for them. Those in grief, those who've experienced great loss, are often the most compassionate. Jesus moved among them now. They pressed in on him. Their hands were extended, reaching out for him. Their desperate cries united in a never-ending symphony of human despair. Jesus touched them tenderly. Jesus cured the sick. Jesus gave hope to the hopeless. A great rabbi taking time with those who had been told that their suffering was a result of their sin. Jesus, grief-stricken, had been moved by compassion and met those who lived in brokenness. It had been a long day now. Evening was beginning to settle in. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Hey, it's getting late, Lord, and we are really hungry. Send these folks away. You've done enough for them today. Send them away." And Jesus replied, "They need not go. I have an idea. You give them something to eat." Great idea, Jesus. Great idea. But we are in the middle of nowhere, and we have nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. Send them away, Jesus. Nothing. Have you ever felt like you had nothing? Nothing left to offer, nothing to give, no energy, no money, no food, no hope, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing. The disciples said, "For crying out loud, Lord, there are thousands of people here, 5,000 men and at least that many women and children. We have nothing. We would like to help, but the problem is just too big. We have nothing." Have you ever felt like the problem that you were facing was just too overwhelming? Have you ever read the headlines and thought, "Climate change? What can I do? World hunger? What can one person do? Riots on the streets, crime in our cities, racism, and so many families suffering from this virus? What can I do? I have nothing to offer. I simply can't make a difference." Jesus, send the crowds away. You've done enough for them today. We have nothing to offer them. Jesus, heartbroken and exhausted, looked at the disciples, the ones who will soon be called to take his message to the ends of the earth, and he said, "What do you have?" And they said, "Nothing, Lord, really nothing. Just 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. Send them away, Jesus, send them away." And Jesus said, "Bring me what you have." And they said, "You're not listening to us. We don't have anything, nothing. Bring me the loaves and fishes." And they did. And Jesus looked out at the congregation sitting on the hillside, as pathetic as they were, their stomachs growling. And he blessed the bread and blessed the fish. He gave thanks to God for this gift. And then he sent his disciples into the crowds to feed them. and all ate. But this was not like the communion that we will be sharing in a few minutes. We will be bathing in words of grace. We will be eating a hungry meal where we will be fed not so much with physical sustenance, but with the promises of Almighty God. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are never alone. This was not a hungry meal 2,000 years ago. The text says all ate and were filled. Send the crowds away? We have nothing? The communion server leaned into the Lindis five in the back row and said, "We ran out. Try again next week." Send the crowds away? We have nothing? Jesus was grief-stricken, rejected, and exhausted. He had nothing left to give, it seemed, but he had compassion. And a fire burned in his belly. And his call was to take nothing and make it into something. Send the crowds away. We have nothing. And Jesus said, "No, you bring me your nothing, and together we can feed these people. Bring me your nothing, and nothing will be impossible. Bring me your nothing, and miracles will abound. The poor will be cared for, and the sick will be cured, and the oppressed will be set free." Miracles abound, even today. A young couple in their 70s found love and exchanged sacred vows on the beach. Miracles. Do you believe in miracles? Miracles. God breaks in and heals the sick. And it happens each and every day using the hands, the feet, and the minds of nurses and doctors. Miracles, the memorials to slavery are coming down. The foundations of racism are beginning to crumble. A miracle 400 years in the making. Yes, God breaks in to work with us, but we must raise our voices and sing for freedom. Miracles. Send them away. We have nothing. Now, our church has not met for worship since March. It's been hard on us. We are grief-stricken. We are lonely. We are pandemically exhausted. Sometimes it seems like we have nothing left to give. People of Trinity, bring me your nothing. And you did just that. And we have partnered with God in what has become a bountiful harvest. We have experienced in our church in the last 4 months our greatest season of outreach in our 67 years. The words of Jesus are streamed now and written across the country and the world, bringing hope to the hopeless. Bring me your nothing, and miracles will abound. The hungry on our island have been fed and are continuing to be fed. Our neighbors have been able to stay in their homes because of you. Utility bills have been paid. Trinity Lutheran caregivers have been shopping and encouraging our senior citizens, and as a result, they no longer suffer alone in the isolation of this pandemic. Miracles abound, but never waste a miracle. Never underestimate the power of love, the power of protest, the power of voting, the power of Almighty God partnering with us in a miracle network. Yes, we are God's people. Yes, we are the hands and feet of a miracle worker. My prayer is that keeping our eyes on Jesus, we may never be the ones to say, "Send the crowds away." May we never insult the giver of all gifts, by saying we have nothing. Rather, may we turn to Jesus, who says, bring me your nothing, and together we can and we will change the world. Never waste a miracle, my friends. They are simply too hard to come by. Never waste a miracle. That is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Carl's going to sing for us now a beautiful favorite of all of ours, Give Me Jesus.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. When I am afraid, oh, and when I am afraid, give me Jesus. When the road seems long, when the road seems long, when the road seems long, give me
our hearts now to God in prayer. Each petition will end, Lord, in your mercy, and our response, hear our prayer. Let us pray.
Compassionate God, you offer food to all who are hungry and meet our every need, even those needs yet unknown to us. Hear us as we pray to you now.
Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance. Awaken in us a hunger for the food that satisfies both body and spirit. And with this food, fill all the starving world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you created us all in your beautiful image. Help us to see our neighbors through your loving eyes. Fill us with compassion and gentleness as we work for equity and justice for all of your children. Give power to our voices that we may work for freedom and mercy for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Grant us patience as the pandemic continues to bring illness, grief, and strife to your people all around the world. Help us to be diligent in our efforts to keep each other safe and healthy. Hold our medical professionals, scientists, and frontline workers in your steadfast care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
God of righteousness, be with political authorities and all who sit in positions of power. Guide them to lead with a sense of selflessness and compassion, especially for those who are living on the margins, the poor, the oppressed, and the voiceless. Grant peace and mercy to your children in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Receive these prayers, merciful God, and those prayers known only to you. We pray in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a sign of peace with those who are worshiping with you today.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you.
Just a couple of announcements this morning. First of all, the altar flowers behind me were given by Barbara Bennett. Barbara moved into a new house this week, and we had a beautiful house blessing for her last Wednesday night. Congratulations, Barbara, and thank you for the flowers. Congratulations, too, to Carol and Daryl Dyer, who were married on July 29th, 1956. That's right, 64 years of wedded bliss, and since January 22nd, 1967, they have lived, loved, and served together here as members of Trinity Lutheran Church. We love you, Carol and Daryl. Congratulations. And now we will move towards the celebration of Holy Communion. You can take this time to set up your home altar, bread and wine, crackers and juice, whatever common elements you use, as God will come to us and the promises of God will come to us this morning. The table is set, a table that welcomes saints and sinners equally, a table that welcomed our parents and grandparents. And so today we join Christians across the globe and across all ages in this feast of victory of our God. As we do so, we remember an upper room in Jerusalem. It was a Thursday night in Holy Week. It was the night in which he was betrayed. Our Lord Jesus, much like in our story today, took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." As often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Jesus Christ has promised to be present with us. Let us pray now together as Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome. Please share now this holy meal together in your setting, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
We are table-bound from the places in our lives, and we come within our troubles and our fears. And we know that we will find a table dressed with bread and wine, where we can lay aside our heartaches and our tears. At a table of your love, O God, the story of our lives restored. And with your never-failing grace, we move forward from this place to rebuild and renew this world in your name, O living God. Just as we have been, we now come to you again, knowing well the very trials of our days. Through each failure or disgrace, we are assured of your embrace, and we are freed to move on living in your ways. At a table of your love, O God, the story of our lives restored. And with your never-failing grace, we move forward from this place to rebuild and renew this world in your name, O living God. One by one we come to this journey just begun, picking up the pieces, living life anew. We're awakened to your call, extending a hand to those who fall, so Christ in us can build a living faith in you. At a table of your love, O God, the story of our lives restored. And with your never-failing grace, we move forward from this place to rebuild and renew this world in your name, O living God.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Fed and forgiven, go forth to find your own place of service. Be a miracle worker in partnership with our Savior Jesus Christ. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed to be a blessing, never waste a miracle, and together we can change the world. Our closing hymn now, bless you in the name of the Lord.
I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you in the name of the Lord. As we leave this place, I offer this grace and bless you in the name of the Lord. I thank you in the name of the Lord. I thank you in the name of the Lord. As we leave this place, I offer this grace and bless you in the name of the Lord. I send you in the name of the Lord. I send you in the name of the Lord. As we leave this place, I offer this grace and bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you in the name of the Lord. As we leave this place, I offer this grace and bless you in the name of the Lord. And bless you in the name of the Lord.
Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll see you very soon. Thank you.